Good morning, everyone. I'm sorry for the sound quality this morning. Apologizing right off the bat. I heard a shear that I just found very important and meaningful, and I wanted to share some of the key ideas with you this morning. The question that was asked in the shear was, "What is the meaning of sacrifices, of korbanot in the modern age?" And as we begin Sefer Vayikra, it's a question that's on people's minds, or rather perhaps not on people's minds, because we, to some degree, tune out during these parshiot. Perhaps we've been already focused elsewhere since the beginning of the conversation about the Mishkan, and now we find that the whole point of building this structure is to bring these sacrifices. And the meaning of the sacrifices is certainly a question. I'm reminded of an interview that I had with Larry Bernstein when I first entered the shul. Larry interviewed me for the Jewish Link, and he asked what the most difficult part of being a rabbi is. And I said that the most difficult part for me is knowing what to do with tzedakah, the responsibility of having a discretionary fund at my disposal, of having a say in what to do with the Cheryl Weigod tzedakah fund. All of those things was a tremendous responsibility that I found to be one of, if not the most difficult part of being a rabbi. And that's really essentially continued. It continues to be a difficult thing to figure out how to balance. And something that I feel like there hasn't been that much guidance for how to approach. And then I heard this shear. Perhaps you can relate to the struggle, and so perhaps this will be a meaningful notion as well. The parsha begins by saying, Adam ki akriv mikem, that when a person wants to bring a korban, but it doesn't use the word that's used generally throughout the Torah, ish, but instead refers to Adam. And the Medrash picks up on this distinction, on this discrepancy, this detail, and says, oh, the reason why the Torah uses the word Adam is because the Torah wants you to think about korbanot from the perspective of Adam, in a halachic sense, meaning that just like Adam couldn't steal because there were no other people, there was no one to steal from, so too, that's the perspective of theft within the world of korbanot. If you bring a stolen korban, it's nothing, because anything that you bring has to be like Adam, in the sense that it's totally impossible that there's any aspect of theft in the korban. And this Magid Shir, the person who was giving this shear, he explained that the reason that you can't have any stolen aspects in your korban is because that defies the inherent nature of korbanot, which is giving a little bit of yourself, sacrificing. And if you take it from somewhere else, from someone else, then it's not sacrificing. Then it's not really giving. In the same way that when you re-gift Mishloach Manot, it's not really giving in the same way. Yes, you fulfill your obligation, but there isn't the same feeling of I'm giving something of mine to you. In this sense, in the Korban sense, it's the idea of taking something that is otherwise yours, taking something that really belongs to you, that you feel a sense of ownership of, and then saying, you know what, these things that I own, I don't need to have all of it. I can give some of it to you. And I think that that's one of the fundamental ideas towards tzedakah, the sense that, yes, while it is the money that is in my possession, I don't need to use all of it. I can give some of it to you. There was one other idea he shared that I thought was was a counterbalance to that, because when that idea takes hold, it can go to an extreme. If you allow that idea to sink in, that I don't need this, you need it more than me, then it can get to tremendous lengths. So there's a counterweight, a counterbalance idea, which is that there are three types. There are various classes of korbanot. There's the sheep, and then there are the birds, and there's the flower offering, depending on the financial status of a person. And the Gemara says that if someone who is poor brings a sheep or even birds, then their korban is pasul, because a person has to live within their means, because a person has to be pragmatic in a physical, materialistic sense with what they can give, with what is beyond their means, and living within their means, and even if it's for the sake of holiness, and you're trying to do a mitzvah, you're trying to even give tzedakah, that if you're giving so much that it's creating a problem, or you don't have savings or anything along those lines, that there's a reason why we have these parameters of a 10% minimum and a 20% maximum for the amount that the overwhelming majority of people should give, and the reason for that top range of 20%, that 1/5, is to be able to know that we have to live within our means, and even for spiritual pursuits, even for something like tzedakah, spiritual pursuit, there's still a need to give in moderation, and to recognize that, yes, while there are always still people who need it more than we do, we do have a financial responsibility, a materialistic responsibility towards ourselves as well, and all of that are kind of the two counterbalancing features of korbanot, really gives an additional meaning an essential meaning to korbanot, as establishing man as a giver, man as a bringer of korbanot. Man in Leviticus and Sefer Vayikra is a giver. And reading Sefer Vayikra from this perspective, not just as a means for archaic animal slaughter, but rather as a means to teach man how to be a giver, I think will hopefully open our eyes to a core aspect, if not the core aspect, the core meaning of what Sefer Vayikra is and how we ought to approach it. Shabbat Shalom.